Free Fire Radio. The phone lines are open at 221-1402. And now, Free Fire Radio.
It's about to commence on News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. It's Carl and Linda Bott, and it's another day. We're ready to romp. Joined today, of course, by our production team of Frosty and Frosty. Good morning.
So I have two names?
Well, no, sometimes you're a different person, so I'm not...
some days.
Some days, but today you look pretty good.
Hey,
you're all there together. And, of course, Soulmate. Good morning there, Linda.
Good morning. You know, Carl woke up today in just a very happy mood, so that's why he called you Frosty, because it was on the inhale and the exhale. So you
Frosty,
know he's on fire.
Frosty, that's it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's a lot of things going on in the world.
Well, and let's start with the local level. Let's not forget.
Let's always do local.
My gosh, there's the Italian Fiesta that's happening this Saturday.
Festa d'Italia.
Festa
right.
d'Italia, sure. So many wonderful pieces of art and film will be shown this Thursday. I mean, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We're going to be there Friday night. Tickets are still on sale at the Cascade Theater, and they're really reasonable.
And that's for the Sundial Film Festival.
Yeah, this is really a big kickoff for the North State.
Well, there's a lot of things, like we said, going on. You know, today we're going to we have our attorney at law.
Wait a minute. D-I-V-O-R-C-E becomes final today.
Well, you know.
That's
all right. I like that, you know. You know, because Robert Logan, our attorney at law, our hired gun here for this show, is going to be talking about divorce and any other legal question that you may have today. And we've got a bunch of other things going on, too, along with this. So, this is Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio. We're going to take a break now. When we come back, we're going to rock with Rob. And welcome back to Free Fire Radio on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Carl and Linda Bott, phone lines here are 221-1402. This portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive. I love their walk-in humidor. It's the finest in the state. It's the finest tobacco emporium you're going to find anywhere. And Joe and Shelley, they know how to treat their customers. You also have Espresso Joe's there where you can get any kind of coffee you want made the way you want it at a very reasonable price. You won't find this place disappearing off the landscape. Joe and Shelley, go and visit them. Our guest today, Robert Logan, hired gun, attorney at law.
All right. Good morning, Carl. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning.
We had a lot of good feedback from the last time you were on and the questions people asked. In fact, I was still getting phone calls from people wanting your number and address for weeks afterwards. And I'm not sure if that's what they were trying to hunt you down for some reason, but, you know, or other reasons. But
well, I am a divorce lawyer, so chances are they may be looking to hunt me down for different reasons.
But the last time you hear, we discussed, and you, with your expertise, bankruptcies and what people can do when they're twisted and can't figure out what do I do. So we are putting a number out there, 221-1402, to make a call this morning. If you have a question regarding what do you want to talk about today?
We're going to discuss divorces today. One of the reasons why I thought divorces would be an appropriate topic is because with the economy failing, most divorces are caused by either infidelity or financial difficulties. And so with this economy in the current state that it is, the divorces have been on the rise. Now, depending on who you listen to, one out of two marriages will necessarily fail and result in a divorce. Some stats put that at 3 out of 5. And considering the current economic conditions, I believe that will continue to escalate.
So you don't think people will stay together because things are tough because it's too expensive to get divorced. Know what I mean? So this just will tear them apart and push them out?
I don't believe that. I don't believe that for the reason that it's too easy to get a divorce. And when most people are at their wits' end with their mates, they're going to take the easy route out at some point in time if they're not going to stick it out and tough it out. Now, a lot of these marriages need to be treated as boxers in the 15th round. They simply need to stick it out. If they're tired, go lean against the ropes for a while and get back out there.
Little rope-a-dope.
Okay. Do you do mediation?
We do some mediation. I have found that if the spouses are amenable to sitting down in mediation, usually they can work it out on their own. There's usually no reason for attorneys to get involved in mediation. It's commonly referred to as collaborative law here in Shasta County. And there are some lawyers that specialize in collaborative law, but I don't believe that a lawyer should necessarily be involved in that. If the parties can work it out, they should work it out by themselves and just go hire a paralegal to draft the necessary documents.
Well, what is the... When you see in the divorces in divorce court, I mean, do you see some that could be saved? It's just like, you know, there's just something that they're just too stubborn or proud to try to get together with the other one. I mean, when you see that must be it must put you in a quandary.
I do see that occasionally. What I usually see is once the divorce has begun, the anger level is so great that. Even on one side, that the anger level is so great that any reconciliation has probably been lost at that point in time. As time goes on and as the divorce continues to proceed through the system and the anger level dissipates, they sometimes will reconcile. And we always like to see that. I do like to see that. Even if that means I have to give some money back.
I like that because, you know, what goes around comes around, and I think that really says a lot about you, because if somebody's coming to you at their wit's end and they're broken, if you could put them back together again, that you can go home at the end of the day and feel good about that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, one of the things that I've noticed lately is that the molestation allegations have absolutely gone through the roof.
That is so bad. That is
you know,
so
that,
wrong.
You know, that's a real good point, because I know of people's lives that have been ruined because of an allegation that, as it turns out later, was just being used to get to leverage money or child requirements, child visitation things.
It's usually used to gain a benefit in the child custody, child visitation matter. And it's the ultimate trump card, because once these allegations are even raised, the court will require a hands-off as to the other parent with the children. At that point, there will be no contact until the investigation is completed, and some of these investigations can take up to 9 months.
So you're saying is that somebody, because of just for to gain the upper hand, will use the ultimate. I mean, and this is the ultimate. I mean, this is the doomsday device. When you look at your other half there, or your former other half, and say they've molested the children. That's and that's low.
Absolutely.
What happens if it's found that the allegations are false?
There's actually a code section in the family code that has a presumption that if the accuser if those allegations are proved to be false, that there's a presumption that the accuser shall not have primary custody of the children. So if it can be proven, it absolutely backfires.
Okay, so if they can't prove that the other one alleged him molested the children, they're going to lose. They're going to lose the rights.
They usually do lose. However, it's also easy to mealy mouth their way out of it by necessarily saying, "Well, I didn't know. I was told this, or I suspected this, and in good faith, I made these claims." So it's very difficult to necessarily show that they were made with the intent.
So, is the attorney punished then? The one who takes that particular client. It tells them, you know, here, let's go ahead and say that. Let's use this, like you said, trump card. And they're found out to be innocent. Is the attorney then punished?
The attorney is usually not sanctioned at all. The only sanction is that, of course, the false accuser will lose primary custody. And also the false accuser will be on the hook for the accused attorney's fees.
Yeah.
Which at that point could be substantial.
Oh, yeah. Okay, look, this is Carl Linda Bott. We're here with Robert Logan, our attorney that's here and available to answer all questions. We're talking divorce right now, but it's any legal question. I have two when we come back. This is Free Fire Radio on News Talk 1400 KQMS. We can work it out.
like.
Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Carl Lindebot, phone lines here 221-1402, and people are calling. This portion of the show is brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive, finest collection of jewelry at the finest prices. The owner will give you the very best in service and deals. It's the only on-premise watch repair person in Reading. Okay, let's go to the phones. Bert, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Carl and Linda and Rob. First of all, before I ask my or bring up my topic, Carl, I just want to tell you guys, you and Linda, that I love your show. I rarely miss it, and then only part of it if I have to leave the house a little early. You guys keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Rob, along the topic or along the lines of what you were just discussing, what can you do in a case where there's a false accusal of spousal abuse, and how do the laws pertain to that if it's proven wrong? I'll take my message off the air.
Thank you, Bert.
Thank you.
As far as the actual accusation is concerned, once the accusation of spousal abuse has been raised and has been reported, and necessarily has been reported, within the last 5 years of the divorce, there's a rebuttable presumption that the abuser should not have custody of the children. Now, once that order has been made and it's later proven that the spousal abuse did not occur, either because the DA dropped the charges or the defendant was acquitted at trial, at which point that person would need to go back into court, into family court, and attempt to modify his custody and his visitation. If he was able to show that he was unjustly accused, he would be able to, at that point, get an extended amount of custody or visitation, or he should be able to get an extended amount of custody and visitation to make up for the times that he lost. Only if, however, you still have to reconcile that issue with the best interests of the children. So if it is still in the best interest of the children or the child to remain with that the false accuser, then the children necessarily would. It all hinges still on the best interests of the children as far as the custody and the visitation is concerned.
Well, so, can you understand, Rob, how some people go insane? Because here's a family four, and they're going along, and the husband and wife, they start to argue and fight, and maybe the husband grabbed his wife's arm while they were in the bathroom.
Absolutely.
And she said, he abused me, because she, at that point, is being mean.
Absolutely.
At that point, what does he have? He's got thousands of dollars. Just to try to prove, I was not abusing you. I just think that's how come people flip out.
And the definition of abuse at this point is so narrow. There was a case where former husband and wife, were arguing about what school the child was going to necessarily attend. They had joint legal custody, but they couldn't agree on what school the child was going to attend. They each wanted the child to attend the school in their district. So during the argument, not in the presence of the children, the husband calls the wife the worst name that you could ever call a woman. Well, she actually slaps him across the face. And she is then charged with domestic violence, which I did not believe was proper. There are some points in time when a man should expect to be slapped. I don't know how many men have been slapped necessarily in bars just in 2009 alone. These women should not necessarily be charged for that. Sometimes, by way of fighting words alone, that reaction should be expected.
Wow.
Well, you can, yeah.
I'm telling you, wow.
Well, the other thing, too, on this is that once you go into the spousal abuse thing, that has a lot of ramifications legally as far as you being able to exercise certain rights, if I remember right. If you've been charged with spousal abuse, I think it takes away some of your Second Amendment rights, or am I wrong about
that? You do have, it's Penal Code Section 12020, and there are some firearm restrictions. Mm-hmm. And those firearm restrictions can extend for a period of 10 years.
Oh,
and
man.
They could also, and then if it goes to the next step up, if you get a court order that says you can't be around them, a restraining order, that really hampers you, doesn't it?
It does hamper, particularly if there are children involved. How are we going to necessarily exchange the children? Now, commonly, these temporary restraining orders will allow for peaceful contact regarding family law court orders.
Okay.
So the exchange could necessarily occur. But the difficulty then becomes, okay, we can talk about the children, but we can't necessarily talk about how we're going to divide the property and debt. At which point, these spouses are almost forced into hiring respective counsel because they have to somehow resolve their issues.
What would John Wayne do? How many movies did you see where John Wayne got slapped across the face?
What about when he's chasing Maureen O'Hara down the street, picks her up, and spanks her on the butt?
Yeah, you didn't see him go cry to some attorney.
Yeah, she liked it. Okay, it's a movie, though. All right.
All right.
Times have passed. That was back in the 60s. All right, now we got about a minute left here. We want to talk about when we come back, you know, some things about settlements, you know, and divorces. But again, this is an open line, so any type of question that people have out there for the lawyer this is a good time to ask it. It's free advice, and it also will give you a place maybe to start if you've got some problems. I'm thinking about the people's car got hit by the meteorite. Who can they sue? Can they go after the government because they're saying, hey, this could be some space junk that came down and smacked my windshield? And if it is, somebody's responsible for this. And if it's not us, maybe it's them.
What is the pain and suffering worth?
What's pain and suffering was it made me get out of bed, walk outside, and then, you know, and I found out that they found out that their windshield shattered and burnt. Hey, this is Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio. Frosty's holding his head again. News Talk 1400 KQMS. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS with Carl and Linda Bott. And our guest today is Rob Logan, attorney at law. And we just heard is that Bernie Madoff, straight to jail. I wonder if it's easier going to jail if you've got $60 billion hidden places all over the world. His wife, by the way, is asking to keep the $7 million penthouse. And $60 million, she says, is just her money.
Well, I wonder, Rob, that we're talking about divorce law, how many couples who just were absolutely devastated through his misdealings and had their trust in him and his company, how many couples have split up over this?
Oh, I can imagine a phenomenal amount of those couples are having marital difficulties at this point. Could you imagine believing that you have the ability to maintain your lifestyle for the rest of your life, only to find out that you don't, and now we're going to essentially have to start over? Imagine the stress on each of the spouses.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just, you know, you're 70 years old, and all of a sudden you're down, you're a greeter at Johnny's. Daniel, you're up.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great, Daniel.
Good. I had a comment about what your guy said about how the woman slapped the fellow in the face because of a word he said.
Right.
Well, I want him to give me a few words that would allow a woman to be slapped around because of what she said. That's just facetious. But my question is this.
Well, that's good because those have been kind of tough words to be saying out
here. I'm not sure I can find those words.
Well, I don't know. There's those seven words that we cannot even get near.
I was kind of surprised that he said that, but hello.
Okay. I was raided for growing medical marijuana this year. And when I'm found innocent, they will still be allowed to keep a year's worth of my labor. Now, how is that legal here in California?
Well, you do have some recourse. Your recourse within 6 months of the time of the raid, you needed to file a claim with the necessary county informing them that you were going to bring a later action based upon your acquittal, and you were going to seek the value of the product. If you had done that and then were able to obtain an acquittal or a dismissal, now the DA at which point will do everything that they necessarily can to be certain that you don't get a dismissal and certainly an acquittal, because they know that if you do, your civil rights violation action goes through the roof. So many times they're going to make you an incredible offer. We'll drop it down to misdemeanor, probation only, no jail time, no fees. For the purpose of doing away with your civil action. But you do have a civil action, and you would also be able to use their valuation of your product as far as your damages.
Okay, well, I'm not settling for anything because they stole my guns. They stole everything I have. You know, it's incredible. But thank you for your...
Hey, Daniel. I'm not an expert on this, you know, on the medicinal marijuana. But from what I understand, medicinal marijuana, you have authority from the state of California to grow so many plants. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah, I was growing half the amount I was allowed to.
And so, I'm not even going to know what that amount is. I've heard six plants or whatever, three plants. So if you're growing that, and then you were raided by who? The sheriff or the police or the city police?
Sheriff.
Sheriff. Okay. And so, and of course, because it's, while medicinal marijuana is still, it's legal in California, it's still on the books as being illegal.
Well, you know, they play that game just people's things. You know, they're messing with people's lives here.
Yeah.
Just semantics.
Well, I find the whole thing really interesting because we're living in a state where they're saying it's okay to use it, and yet they're still prosecuting. And the worst thing is now Holder has said we're not gonna be prosecuting big time on marijuana, which allows the big growers down in Mexico to start pushing this stuff across.
Well, it was my understanding that they're not going to prosecute or raid the California dispensaries any longer.
Okay.
But what they will continue to do is raid the illegal grows that are necessarily up in the up in the forest,
in the
woods.
You're talking about the big things.
But what the DEA is not going to be concerned about is the California dispensaries or the growers such as the listener.
Well,
that's not true because I was at my home and I only had 30 plants. And my problem was that plants got huge. And I've been growing here for like 5-6 years and they just got huge this year, so they came in and have just stomped all over my rights.
Well, I'm referring to the DEA, not necessarily the SO office, not the Shasta sheriffs. And was it the sheriffs that came in and raided you?
That was Sintef.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, Daniel, thanks a lot for your phone call.
Man, I tell you what, this is I'm horribly offended. I tell you what, I served this country proudly, but I worked for the school district until I retired.
Uh-huh.
And I am... When did I become a felon? When I was a maintenance man in protecting people's children in schools? You know, I just want to know when I became a felon, you know?
Well, I believe that if the doctor says this is your medication and you need it, he's the ultimate decider as to that issue. The federal government or the state government cannot necessarily come in and say, we know more than your doctor does. If you'd like to discuss this further, of course, you may contact my office at 241-0126.
Thanks a lot, Daniel.
I bet you he's not alone, because we've been talking about this. What constitutes growing? How much can someone grow once they have a certificate, a legal certificate, saying that you need this for medicinal reasons?
Yeah, see, I don't, you know, that's the other thing, too. Having been, having grown up in a time and place that, you know, you grow anything, you know, they're going to hammer you. So now there's medicinal marijuana plants, and he said he had 30. I mean, I don't know how many. I don't know how many you can grow. I have no idea. But then if he's growing it and he's selling it to a commune for, you know, the medicinal people.
A dispensary.
At a dispensary. And then, but you can still be arrested for it.
You can still be arrested for it by the county as well as by the federal government. Now, what I believe should occur at this point is that there needs to be some uniform guidelines across the state as to how much can necessarily be grown. Right now, in Humboldt County, you can grow an unlimited amount as long as it's in a 10-by-10 area. But that necessarily begs the question, can we grow in a 10-by-10 area, which is a silo, and then we can run the necessary plants with the lights up 60 feet up the silo? We're still in a 10-by-10 area. Versus Shasta County, where you should be able to grow 6 outdoors and 12 indoors, or vice versa, I can't exactly recall. But that has also recently been modified to 12 plants as well. But we do need some kind of uniform guideline at this point.
Well, 30 plants. Did he say 30?
Yeah.
Does that seem like a lot?
Depends on how many 215 medical marijuana prescriptions.
Oh, okay, so you get so many chits to be able to do that. Okay.
So does one doctor issue a 215?
One doctor issues a 215. There are many doctors in Shasta County. There are 3 doctors that I can recall.
But I mean, so he could have 3 different 215s
for 3 different persons,
right?
That he grows for,
and it would be and it would necessarily be a co-op grow, and a co-op grow is necessary where each one of the participants participates in the actual grow.
Huh.
So they have to take care of watering, clipping, whatever it is.
Well,
necessary.
This, you know, this leads to some other things where we get into. To Trinity County, and we're doing some work there in Trinity County, which is a lot different than it is here with some of the problems they're facing. We got a number of people lining up here on the phones. We've got to take a quick break here. It's Carl and Linda Bott, News Talk 1400 KQMS, Free Fire Radio.
When you go to... You bring it.
This is Carla Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio here at News Talk 1400 KQMS. Our special guest in the house today is attorney at law, Rob Logan. Two juicy topics right now, divorce and pot.
Did
it's illegal. Where are we going with it? What's happening? Let's go to the phones. What do you think, Tom?
Yeah, since I got an attorney, I'm almost hesitant to ask a question, but I'm a landlord. What are my rights as a landlord to say, I'm not going to rent to somebody who's got one of these 215s?
Well, I don't know if you have those. I don't know if you have those rights or not. It would probably be akin to, let's say, a doctor prescribes some OxyContins to a patient. Could a landlord necessarily at that point in time say, "I don't want an Oxy addict in my residence"? So I don't think you can necessarily do that. However, if let's say the tenant is conducting a marijuana grow inside the residence, well, if he's destroying the residence, that's something else. So now we have some property destruction issues that we can probably evict him based upon. Or if he has the big light set up and the electrical grid going, that also creates some additional problems that the landlord may be concerned about.
Wait a minute here. I mean,
let me wait just a second here now. You know, this whole medical marijuana deal was sold to us as a compassionate use act, which is nothing but a front. I live in Trinity County, and I say it's become an epidemic up there. And some of these doctors will, some of them, very few, will write out a prescription for ingrown toenails because they are pro marijuana. It's just a front. And I had a problem with somebody. I tell you right now, I will not rent to somebody that wants to grow that stuff on my property. Period.
Well, you know,
I don't give a darn what the law is. I think I have some rights too. And I caught somebody doing it, and I said, I don't want it around here. They wouldn't get rid of it. I went down with a weed eater and chop it down.
Well, you know, it's...
Now, you can tell me I'm illegal, but, boy, I want to tell you something. It's getting pretty sad when the criminal element, and that's what it's become. It's become so bad in Mendocino County. My cousin said they're scared to live in the neighborhood they are now.
The problem with Mendocino County specifically is that if the marijuana was completely eradicated, and the sheriff of Mendocino has actually said this, if the marijuana crop was completely eradicated, it would destroy their economy. 60% of their population is involved in that, economy.
Sick? That goes to show, you know, with the economy going down worse, in other words, we'll sell our soul to the devil for a dollar. You know, maybe capitalism is going down.
Well, I'm not sure. I believe that alcohol is probably worse than marijuana.
I went to the Board of Supervisors, and we finally got them to repeal it because there are people south of South Fork Mountain where we have no law enforcement because what's happened in Trinity County, the cutbacks, they don't have very many sheriffs out. And so when you made it a more liberal to have more plants, what ends up happening, you throw out the welcome mat, and they've done that. Superintendent of the schools showed a article that was written in High Times, which is a dope magazine. Hey, come and get it, folks, because there's no cops up here going to catch you. And if they do...
Hey, Tom? Tom?
I get worked up about this.
I couldn't tell. I couldn't
tell.
I'll
tell you something.
Come on, Tom, you're not fired up.
You just got to say enough is enough.
That's true.
And I'm sorry about it, but they ain't going to grow on my place, period. If they want to take me to court, well, we'll make a federal case out of it then.
Okay, hey, Tom, thanks a lot for your phone call.
I should have some rights, too, and I'm trying to be a decent person. I just won't have that crap on my property.
Tom, thanks a lot. Hey, you know, we're going to have a show about legalization of marijuana, and I expect you to be calling in. Thank you, Tom, for calling. Robin, good morning.
Hi.
Do you have that same problem in Louisiana there?
Well, how are you doing this morning over there in California?
We're doing good. You know, how are them crayfish doing?
They're wonderful. They're wonderful. It's almost the season, and I can't wait. It's actually really delicious.
Is this real?
Yeah.
This is a fabulous accent is real. You know what? That's like talking to Carl's sister who lives in Chattanooga. And we spent, a week with three couples from Tennessee. And they all bless your heart. I just thought I was going to bless my heart right out of my soul.
Robin, what did you want to say?
Well, I just wanted to say I think it's wonderful, of course, that Robbie's on, Rob Logan is on the radio.
And, Robbie.
I do think that this is a wonderful issue that you're talking about. It's charged here in the state of Louisiana, and it's wonderful to get feedback from the state of California, or to hear the different stories in the state of California of what's going on with the legalization of marijuana. It's a very, very hot topic here, too, and I was assuming that it was going to be about divorce, but I definitely will be tuning in again to hear about the show on the legalization. So, but I just wanted, I did initially just call to thank the radio station for having Robbie on, but then I guess they threw me online, or on the radio. So.
Hey, you get to listen in. And yeah, we know we're glad we have Robbie on too.
Robin, are there very many marijuana growers in Louisiana also?
Well, I work as a paramedic out here, and of course we come to different different scenes, and yes, there is lots of them. And it's, of course, not legalized here, but there is lots of them. And I do think that guidelines and rules and stuff, and like you said, there are drugs that are prescription drugs, that are legal drugs, that have horrible effects on people. And I think that should be looked at, too. So.
Hey, we've got to take a break here, Robin. Thanks so much for waiting and for calling. And next time you call, I want to talk about gator bites.
Okay, we'll do that.
All right.
Goodbye,
thanks,
Robin.
A lot.
Goodbye. Y'all have a good day.
Y'all
thanks.
Too. Okay, calling at the bottom, Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400, KQMS. We have some people still on the line. We'll get to you right after this break.
Welcome back. You're listening to Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS. This portion of the show is brought to you by New Image Photography, 2655 Park Marina Drive. They are our photographers of choice. I'm telling you, you want a great shot for anything. Family photos, senior photos, go see Dan and Julia. New Image Photography. Let's go to the phones for a hot topic.
Bill.
Yeah, hi, Carl. How you doing?
Hey, we're doing fine, Bill. What's up?
Yeah, I was listening to this marijuana thing. My brother was a crane operator at one of the landfills in Ontario.
Uh-huh.
And his job, he retired 10 years ago, but his job was to, the DEA would bring in all his marijuana they had seized, and his job was to pick it up, put it in the furnaces, and burn it.
Yeah.
Now, how I see our future going with California is, number one, they're going to legalize it to sell in like a state-approved liquor store in Oregon and Washington, but it'll be a state-approved marijuana shop.
Right.
You'd have to go there to buy it. It still would be illegal to grow it because then they couldn't seize it.
And they can't.
And they go seize the plants. They get it the plants for free. Instead of taking them to a furnace, they take it to a sorting warehouse, and then they distribute it to their little stores. Plus, they could get the inmates of these prisons, instead of growing tomatoes, they could grow marijuana crops.
I'd be a happy, happy prison.
You know, and it'd all be free. I mean, it'd all be actually free. It'd be just total, profit.
Well, you know, there's a lot of people are saying that. You know, if people are going to smoke it, why not tax it? But you know, here's the thing I say is legalizing marijuana, you know, you look at it for people medicinal. I mean, I know people have taken it on a medicinal level, and it's really helped them.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it really has on pain. You know, I'm not saying to people that are using it as an excuse. I have a hangnail. I have to smoke 12 doobies here. The other thing, though, is that anytime you introduce something back in our society that's harmful or can be harmful, you know, do we need more? That's something I'm still wrestling with right now. But we got other people on the phone. Bill, thank you so much for calling.
Okay, girl. Bye-bye.
Daniel, you're up.
Yeah, are you familiar with the Grapes of Wrath?
The Grapes of Wrath, yes, sir.
Look, okay.
John Steinbeck.
Yes. My mom came to Oklahoma with seven brothers and sisters and just my grandmother, and they bought passage in another person's pickup truck. And when they rolled into Oildale, they had a sign over the... They had a little thing over the street saying, for the stop signs and stuff back then.
Yeah.
They hung a sign saying, no Okies. Oaks weren't welcome.
Yeah, I know. I remember seeing signs like that, yes. I mean, well, in photos.
I'm fat, right? So people have been prejudiced against me my entire life, right? That guy saying that he is going to refuse to rent to someone who is legally doing something in this state,
uh-huh.
Tell you what, the shallow-mindedness of that is baffling. just like they wouldn't allow Okies. You know what? How about if he said he just didn't want to rent to black people? I'm not going to rent to a black person. You know, can't he hear how ugly he's sounding?
Well, I think what Tom is saying, and not to get, you know, and I understand perfectly what you're saying, Daniel. I think what he's saying, if somebody is doing something illegal on his property, is there ramifications, Rob?
If it's illegal, there are certainly ramifications. But this caller's point is that that his action at that point is not illegal because he does have a script. I want to go back very quickly to the issue of the tax, though. It does not necessarily have to be – the marijuana does not necessarily have to be grown by a state agency. The marijuana can be grown in the backyard and tagged necessarily, and each plant without a tag is illegal. But if it's tagged – then it's legal.
Hey, Daniel, you've got a good point. Unfortunately, you've run out of time, and this is something that we also need to talk about in other things, because you don't agree with somebody, does that give you the right to keep them out of a rental area? So thank you so much.
Our guest has been Rob Logan. This is Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Just remember, the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?